I'm Mark Mobley. For those of you that don't know, I'm the discipleship minister here at the church, and I come from being the youth minister. And I say that to preface this next thing. All right, how many of you know the game Follow the Leader? All right, everybody, right? You see how closely you can follow the leader. I thought about actually trying to do that, and I was like, there's no way I can get people up and moving around and doing that. But there's a game that's pretty close to it. And I want to warn you, I'm pretty good at it, okay? It's Simon Says, all right? It's very similar to Follow the Leader, right? Instead of actually following, you just hear what I say, and it's Simon says this, then you do it. And if you don't hear the phrase Simon says, then you don't do it, all right? It's pretty easy. And I'm going to ask you to get out of your comfort zone, not out of your seat, but just out of your comfort zone. And we're going to play, all right? We're going to play. Not real long, but just for a little bit, all right? So Simon says, touch your nose. Touch your head. All right. Simon says, touch your shoulders. Now, if you're doing this, those aren't your shoulders. All right? We play those kid games, and it teaches us to listen and obey, right? Pretty simple. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that today. Several years ago in Time magazine, they did a report on the development of the human brain. And they saw in this article that was, it was entitled Fertile Minds. This article talked about how from moment of conception to the first 3 years, how a child has trillions of connections, like way more than you and I have now. It's just everything fires these synapses just everywhere, all these connections. And how that will shape a person in that amount of time for the rest of their life. In other words, those early years, the formative years, will define how we view our lives. These are referred to as inborn traits. However, the article goes on and talks about how experience and upbringing also have plenty to do with how we turn out as well. The article explains further that the scientists no longer are asking the question whether babies are born pre-programmed or if they're born resembling like a blank slate. Instead, they know that it's not nature versus nurture, it's a combination of the both. Both of those ingredients, heredity and environment, are very pivotal in who we are going to be. And I think it was a good article. It had a lot of good concepts and information on development. However, I would say they left out one crucial factor in there. Their equation came up short because it did not have God in it. God fashions each of us uniquely. He gives each of us distinct gifts, even before we're old enough to use those gifts or to understand them. God gives us insight into this, all right? He says in the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1 through 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah was a born leader. We see again in Exodus 7:20, Moses was born. He was no ordinary child. There was something unique about him at birth. He was a born leader. So I do believe that God sets in place who we will be. However, that is just the start. Our experiences, our education, our development, they all play a part in who we become. And so whether you are a follower or a leader, or a combination of the both, we are uniquely designed by God to complete His purpose. We are all shaped by experiences that we've had through the course of our lives, and God uses those experiences for His glory as well. So, heredity plus environment plus God equals a spiritual leader. In the case of Moses, it was easy to see his call into ministry, right? We already talked about he's set apart at birth, but hearing the voice of God is something that many people desire. A burning bush would make it certainly a lot easier not to miss the message. I know that sometimes we think it'd be easier if God would just audibly speak to us like the way that we're going to read in today's text. It would be nice if we heard God say, yes, take that job. Don't move there, or don't eat that guacamole with the weird fuzz spots. But that's usually not how he communicates with us today. I've experienced his calling in my life a few different times. One that I guess kind of started me out was my call into ministry. It was not nearly as dramatic as a burning bush, and I did not audibly hear the voice of God. But I did feel God leading me. And there was certainly a peace that I had never experienced before. And it was coupled with this affirming confidence, knowing what I was supposed to do. It happened when I was at White Mills Christian Camp. It was my eighth grade year. I was having a great time running around camp, doing camp things. And there was a challenge that had been put out for people who were thinking about going into ministry in a full-time capacity. And Thursday evening came, and that's the last night, so that's the big push that everybody does. And I felt in my core, I just knew that I was going to go forward and give my life to Christ in service and ministry. And I remember that it was quite a few others who came forward as well. So much so that they didn't even really take it seriously. In fact, it was the whole camp. They had taped a line on the floor, and it was only about 3 feet from the stage, and they had said, you know, you cross this line, you're crossing into ministry. And everybody in the whole camp was crammed in this 3-foot line. And so they sent everybody back, and they gave the call again and tried to explain it further, and everybody did the same thing. And so it was caught up in a lot of white noise. But I've always felt God calling me to serve him. Now, I know that some of you could stand up here and share similar experiences. God's made it incredibly clear to you what your call is. And maybe you've never wavered on that. And it happened as a student or adult or even as a child. And you knew through life what God wants you to do. But I think that most would say that God's will has not been so clear or strongly felt in their life. Maybe there's even been a little confusion about God's calling in your life, or you doubt that he even has. Maybe you felt it once and then it's faded away. You no longer feel that assurance of being where you're supposed to be. I fully believe that God calls us to fulfill the purpose of his plan, of his will, whether you're a leader in the church or a leader in the youth group or small group or in your family. Maybe you're just a leader in your own choices. God calls you to be his leader, a leader for him in your sphere of influence. One of my favorite Bible characters, and actually I don't like that terminology. It makes it sound like a play or something that was fictitious. One of my favorite historical figures is Samuel. If you were here last week, you know that Mark shared about Hannah. She was a godly woman who longed for a son. She finally made this vow to God that if he would bless her with a child, she would then give that child back to God in service. Well, God did, she did, and Samuel was raised under the leadership of Eli, the priest. If you want to grab your Bibles in front of you, we're going to go to 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 10. It's page 264 on the Pew Bibles. I know that a lot of times it's thrown up here for convenience, but I think there's something about opening God's Word and getting into it. 1 Samuel chapter 3, 1 through 10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes had become so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the Ark of the Covenant was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lied down. And again, the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up, and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." And then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lie down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel said, "Speak, your servant is listening." That's a pretty amazing call to service, to audibly hear the voice of God specifically saying your name. Samuel was serving under the leadership of Eli in the tabernacle, which is an elaborate tent. It was talked about or described last week as a portable temple. Samuel had probably been serving in the tabernacle for many years by the time he heard God's voice. He was dropped off about 3 to 5 years of age, and most scholars place him around 12 when he would have heard God's voice here. So for 7 to 9 years, God had been preparing him and refining him and getting him ready for what lay ahead. But understand that he was doing good. He was working. He was not just sitting around and waiting for God to do something miraculous and to tell him what to do next. In 1 Samuel 2:26, it says, "The boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with men." See, Samuel had the heredity. He came from a family who loved and served God, and they passed that desire on to him. And Samuel had an environment that was all about service to God, and Samuel had God. And we know that God gives us free will, and if we don't allow God's leading in us, then we can't fulfill his will. We see this in Eli's own sons. When Samuel finally understood that it was God that was calling, and he said, "Speak, your servant is listening," the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning, and then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." That's kind of his go-to phrase, "Here I am." "What is it that he said to you?" Eli asked. "Don't hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, and hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." See, Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they were supposed to succeed him in the priesthood and take over the important role of receiving sacrifice. But they couldn't because they were terrible people. They dishonored God in the tabernacle with their actions. They would even steal from people. that came to do sacrifice, and they would just do horrible things in the tabernacle. And because of their evil, God did not want them to have any part of service in his tabernacle, and that's why he was preparing Samuel to take over this ministry. Again, verse 1, let me read that for you. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. See, God was not only preparing Samuel, he had been preparing the people for Samuel's ministry as well. There was a spiritual vacuum in Israel at that time, partially because the people were far from God and partially because of Eli's sons being terrible people and driving people away. They wouldn't come and give sacrifice anymore to God. There was this growing void. God had been strangely silent with his people, and there was not any specific spiritual direction from the Lord for a while. God's silence was setting the stage for Samuel's ministry. And God does this quite a bit. Throughout Scripture, we see that God prepares the leaders that he calls, along with the people who will hear the message. I want to take a moment and just quickly look at three different historical figures, very quickly here, just to see the different responses that they had towards God. So the first one is Jonah, right? Jonah in the well. Jonah clearly heard God say, go and speak to the people of Nineveh, but he didn't do that. What did he do? He ran from God. He got on a boat and went the opposite way. After he forcibly went there and was thrown up on to the shore of Nineveh, he spoke convincingly. And then because of his prejudice towards those people, he complained because they listened to his message and they were saved. Moses, right? He was saved as a child. He was raised as a prince. He hit a guy way too hard and had a 40-year rough patch. But then he's called out of a burning bush. And then after this experience, he spent the next few chapters trying to get out of it and explaining why he couldn't do it, why he wasn't the guy. And then there's Samuel. He heard God and he said, speak, your servant is listening. He didn't run or complain or try to argue his way out of it. He heard, he listened, he trusted, he obeyed. He was a great follower, which gave him the appearance of a great leader. The Bible tells us that there's nothing new under the sun. And I still believe that God prepares people. He calls. I've been here, well, not here, I've been in ministry for 23 years. I've been here for 18 years at Nelson Christian Church. And all of that started at a Christian camp. It probably started before that because I saw my family's lineage. My grandfather was in ministry, my father was in ministry, and it set the groundwork for who I am today. But my first call to ministry was during that eighth grade year of middle school at a camp. And I felt challenged time and time and time again to continue to serve God. The older I get, I'm able to look back and see how God shaped me and molded me and helped me to better serve him. Now, I've not always been overly effective in fulfilling God's plan and ministry. And I still have a lot to learn, and I will never be finished learning until God takes me to heaven. But I can see that God has been teaching me through each step along the way to prepare me for what's around the next corner. And I'm telling you, he will do that for you too. But what do we do now? Before it's all clear, we are to be faithful in the in-between. God often calls those who are faithfully doing the task at hand. Samuel was working for the Lord when God called him in his life. He was doing
a job. He was working. And the second chapter of Samuel, verse 11, the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. Verse 18, Samuel was ministering before the Lord. Verse 21, the boy Samuel grew in the presence of the Lord. And in 26, the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with men. Samuel was serving faithfully at the tabernacle when God spoke to him and opened up those lines of communication. He was doing things. Have you ever known people who spent their whole life waiting for something big, some big sign to serve, rather than trying to serve God now in something small? Rather than coming to Christ first and then working on growing in the Lord, they wait to be good enough to accept Jesus Christ. They want to wait around for that big moment. And I think the truth is that big moment probably won't come unless you're faithful with little moments. Jesus says that. He teaches that. Those who have been faithful with a few things will later be put in charge of many things. I think too many times we treat our faith journey kind of like Cousin Eddie treated getting a job, right? He hadn't had a job in 7 years because he was holding out for a management position. There's sometimes that we just have to start doing something. What are you doing for God? I had a friend who graduated same year I did in college. I had been working at a church and was getting ready to transition to another one at that time. And I was telling him excitingly about some of the future plans, and I asked him, I was like, what are you going to do? And he says, you know, I don't know. I don't really feel like I'm going to do anything. I'll maybe do it later. Right now I'm going to do something different, and maybe later I'll get into ministry. He still hasn't. Maybe that's okay. God calls us to secular tasks as well as spiritual tasks. God uses us where we are. See, I will never meet all of your coworkers. I will never be able to talk to all of your neighbors. But God has uniquely placed you where you can reach the lost in your life. Serve where you are planted. God called Samuel to be a prophet and a priest in Israel. He was a spiritual leader. But God also called him to be a judge in Israel, which is much different than our judicial system now. The judges in the Old Testament were leaders in Israel before the nation had a king. The judges settled major legal disputes, but they would also rally troops and then lead the soldiers into battle. God called Samuel to fulfill various roles, some spiritual and some seemingly not so spiritual. But all of it was part of God's call, and each task fulfilled Samuel's duty to God. So let me ask you this. Does God call people today? Does He call people to be electricians? I think He does. Does He call people to be doctors or school teachers or computer techs or office assistants or CEOs or custodians? Yeah, absolutely. I think God puts that in our hearts, desires, or if not a burning desire to do that job, maybe He puts that in our path for a reason. And beyond careers, God calls people to serve, maybe in the nursery, maybe lead a small group, maybe to fix the coffee in the back on Sunday mornings, or to serve in kids' ministry, or to do the soundboard or the PowerPoint slides. God calls all of us to serve in some way. Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." If God calls you to leadership, He will give you the capability to prepare for it. He won't do the work for you, but he will provide opportunity for training or experiences that you need to be successful. Maybe that'll be through education or through spiritual gifts that he supplies. Maybe it's through an example that you've had in your life, a parent or a friend or a youth pastor or a preacher who has set a strong example for you. Maybe God will use a crisis in your life to motivate you to step up and take charge, or maybe to lead someone through that similar crisis at a later point in life. Whatever it might be, if God wants you to lead, then he will see that you have the opportunity to prepare. Back to our text, verse 19. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. All of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. As Christians, we need to ask this question: what is a leader? God is the leader, and we are the followers. Samuel followed God so closely and in word and in action that he appeared to be a great leader. And again, I already said, Samuel's one of my favorites. I don't want to take anything away from him. But following God can make you look like a good leader too. So follow God completely. Make sure that you set a good example. I guarantee you that somebody is watching. And you might be more of a leader than you think already. The final lesson that I want us to glean from the call of Samuel is that God usually calls us in a step-by-step process of obedience. It's a matter of taking a next step with God and then the next one. Notice that he did not call Samuel to be a prophet, a priest, a judge, a kingmaker, a kingbreaker the first time that he communicated with him. God called Samuel's name. And he gave him some important information about Eli's family. And that was it. And this call was important because God had never talked to Samuel before. Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli, under his oversight. But Samuel did not have direct line of communication with God until this moment. You see, God was helping Samuel begin to understand that he was the next leader of Israel. And that's why God told him about Eli's family and how they were going to be removed. He was getting Samuel ready to take the next step. And this would be the manner in which God worked with Samuel for the rest of his life and the rest of his ministry. Regular instructions and daily obedience. If you don't do your next step, or if I don't do my next steps, something won't get done. And someone might lose an opportunity to hear about the saving power of Christ. Regular instructions, daily obedience. Maybe God's calling you to surrender your life to him. Maybe he's calling you to end a damaging relationship or a let go of an addictive behavior. To get out of a dead-end job or go back to college or to refocus your future, whatever his calling is in your life, it involves coming to God every morning and saying, "Speak, your servant is listening." It sounds so simple, but it's incredibly powerful. Ask him to speak and then listen for his answer throughout the day. And then obey his calling with confidence and know that he will equip you to be successful. Follow the leader to become a leader. Let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful that you give us an example like Samuel. We're so grateful that when you call us to serve, Father, that you don't just tell us something, that you show us and you walk with us and you help us. And so, God, I pray today over everyone here. I pray, Father, that you would give us the opportunity to take a next step. And I pray that we wouldn't cower away from that, Father, but that we would boldly go through it, knowing that you will give us the opportunity, that you will give us the supply to be successful. God, I pray that you would be with those who are thinking about giving their life, making that first step to make you the Lord and Savior of their life. God, I pray that if they're thinking about that, that as we sing this next song, Lord, that you would just move in their heart. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.